League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Summertime is just about here, so it's all about the carnivals and the rodeos and the festivals and all the fun things that come along with it. So when I saw this story, I'm like, uh-oh, this is just the beginning of all the craziness that will happen. There was a rodeo that was happening. One of the bulls named Party Bus escaped the arena, but it couldn't have happened at a stranger time. Listen to this.
Oh, no.
Are they saying get to higher ground?
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, how high up do you have to be when the bull just cleared a 6-foot fence?
Open the gate, boys. Open the gate. Open the gate. Everybody in the grass.
Everybody in the grass. Open the gate. Get yeah. out. Party Bus has escaped.
Get on top of something there. That's wild, man. You know that I'm a big believer, Anna, when there's a bull out running around and he's in an arena and people are cheering for him, when he gets into the crowd, that's when things really get exciting for me.
Exciting? You think that? I think this is terrifying. I don't know. I think terrifying things happen like when you least expect it. Like one time I was at a carnival and you know the swings, the rides that are the swings?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They, it goes way up and there's, you know, how many across and then it, you know, right.
Luckily, this was a children's version of it, so it's like the one that doesn't go that high up.
Yeah,
you know, it was pretty tame. The thing tipped over with the kids on it. I was standing right there. I was like, oh my gosh. And I remember, like, I've never let my kids go on those swings, and I've never gone because when my mom was a little girl in Italy, she always talks about this one time that she saw somebody on the swings, a kid, get thrown off of them.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So, like, I always thought, like, it was an urban legend that she made up that story. Until, but, like, it was enough to scare me that I would never let my kids do it. And then I'm standing at this carnival, and I'm, like, 20 feet away, and I see the thing just slowly tip over.
I mean, how does that happen, though? How big of a ride is this thing?
It was a kid's one. So luckily the kids were totally safe.
Like, it was the size of a minivan? Like what?
No, like it was definitely like, I would say 15 feet. Like it was like a kid's size one.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember thinking like all these kids kind of just bounced up and were fine. But if it was like 45-year-old people on that, it would have been a much different scenario about their willingness to just bounce up and be fine.
Carnies, rodeos, any sort of state fair, they can be a little bit scary there. I do remember being on the zipper. You know what the zipper is?
No.
So it was like there would be two or three of you inside a cage, which basically looked like a stand-up jail cell. But it was only like, you know, you could just stand up and sit in there, right? And it had padded bars on the front and back. They'd lock you in there, and then that whole thing would spin on a track around, and then the individual like cages would flip on that track as he went through. And the worst thing that ever happened to me was getting stuck on top of that thing upside down. Oh, it was so bad.
How long were you upside down for?
Probably like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, something like that.
Oh my gosh, I just would have passed out. I can't even imagine being stuck upside down for that long.
Here's the thing. Any carnival ride, it just creaks and makes noises. You feel like it's all going to let go. You're looking at the door handle the entire time being like, hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't fail me today.
I saw a video that just went viral, too, of this other carnival ride where it was also tipping over and everybody ran and you could just see everybody holding on to make it stop tipping over until, like, the batteries ran out or whatever on, like, the thing and it stopped swinging. All right. If you had to be at a rodeo with a loose bull.
Yeah.
Or on a ride that was about to tip over that it's only about 14 strangers holding you to the ground. Which would you rather be on?
I mean, if I'm up in the bleachers, I'm already on higher ground. I'll take the rodeo.
This is an email that I received last week from Lance. Here's a question of the day that would be fun to ask listeners. Thank you, Lance. We appreciate
Thanks, Lance.
It. Yeah. Why can't everyone in the family be on the same page and keep the kitchen sink clear by putting their dishes in the dishwasher? It's a family problem for me, the dad, as I have to unload and load the dishwasher every single morning. 30-minute job in my house. And then he attached a picture of his sink. And I wanted to say, Lance, because that's your job.
Right.
That's why.
You know what? Do you remember being a teenager and being fancy free? You just throw the dishes right there. I mean, sometimes they didn't even make it in the sink. You just leave them on the counter.
I mean, my kids leave them on the table. It drives me crazy, but I'm working on it.
It's funny. As an adult, it would never happen. It would drive me insane.
Yeah. I think that there's just some chores and tasks that are divvied up in the family, even if you didn't truly assign them. My husband does most of the dishes. He does. And he loads the dishwasher and he washes them. Because I cook. And then usually by that time, it's time to put the kids to bed. So I'm upstairs putting the kids to bed and he's cleaning up downstairs. But last night, it was early. So I started doing the dishes. The anxiety on his face about the way I was doing them and loading them into the dishwasher. And he was casually readjusting it. And I just was like, this isn't a fight you need to pick. Turned off the water, dried my hands, and walked away. And that was the end of that.
My wife will have a list of these things that we do in my house.
I cook, and you clean up.
Usually.
I dust, and sometimes you vacuum.
I vacuum all the time now. I'm the vacuumer. You do the laundry, I make the bed.
Yes.
We both take out the trash.
Yep.
Have you eaten out of the trash barrel yet, by the way? I cleaned it. I cleaned it with the pressure washer. It's so nice.
That's disgusting.
Derek, is there a task that your spouse has that you do not get involved in?
My wife always books flights for travel. I made a mistake one time, and it's an expensive mistake. So now it is not my job.
So funny. Yep.
I do the opposite of this, actually. So now I just don't even discuss the flights with my wife. I just book them.
Oh, that's good.
Because what happens is she is the same way. She will hesitate on things. She will want to think things over. God forbid we're going on a trip with somebody else. She wants to consult with a dozen other people. And you know what happens in that time? The price has changed. The flights have changed. The availability's gone. Now, at this point, I just don't even ask anymore. At this point, I just book the flights.
Well, that's what I do with me and my husband. I'm the one that does it. We actually got into an argument the last time we went away because also when we get to the airport, I don't allow him or the kids to carry their own passports.
Oh, no, no.
I have to carry them.
I hand them to my wife immediately because I will lose them. So.
And he gets mad. He's like, I'm an adult. I can carry my own passport. I'm like, no. If it's not in my purse so I can have them all together.
Right.
It gives me weird anxiety.
What does he need it for?
I mean,
you're
understand.
All traveling together.
Why do you have to hold your own passport?
No. I'm on your side with this one.
You're 45. I understand. You're capable of carrying your own passport.
Possibly.
It just makes it easier if I know that they're in my purse strapped to my chest safely so we can arrive back in our country.
Paul thinks because he's traveled out of the country by himself, and he's managed to get there and get back, that he's capable of doing this. But when he goes to the airport by himself, it's only him. Yeah. It's only his bags he has to worry about. He's not worried about anything else. He doesn't have to pay attention to the girls running around. Who's doing this? What's happening? Keeping the family together. He's better off letting you carry the passport.
I agree. And the boarding passes.
Yes. And anything like that whatsoever. I won't even check us in digitally on my phone, even though I've booked the flights, because I'm like, wait a minute, am I supposed to put this on my phone or not? But that part, I all leave to her.
That's because you don't know how to use your phone.
Well, that's part of it, too. Mm-hmm. I can book a flight with the best of them.
It's funny how households divvy up the tasks, the chores. Mm. It's like you don't even ever say out loud, I'm going to do the vacuuming and you're going to do the dishes. But somehow you just morph into these roles over the years.
Remember, my wife used to do all the landscaping, all the lawn upkeep at my house. And it started because I drove the lawnmower through the fence.
Three times.
That's true. But for some reason, Anna, now that I've been entrusted to the lawnmower again, like it started gradually again over time.
Yeah.
Now I do all the lawn care again.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't.
I'm looking at our text line at 1-800-330-9999. Mandy says she packs the kids' school lunches. Husband takes out the garbage. I pack kids' school lunch, too, every single night. And it's always the last thing, and it's always the thing I forget to do, where I think I can go upstairs to bed now. And then I get to the first stair, and I'm like, oh! And I have to turn around and go back to do it.
Do you empty them at the end of the day, too? Because sometimes opening them up after the day.
It's disgusting.
It's a worse job, right?
No, the worst is opening it and seeing the strawberries go everywhere or a half-mashed banana in the thing is the worst. But the worst is on Sunday night when I didn't empty it on Friday.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. I've opened it up and there's straight mold fuzz
get the
growing
bleach
in there. Yeah. Adam, what's the task that your spouse does that you won't do?
I will not do parent-teacher conferences. I don't like sitting there talking to the teacher about my child. Like, I let the mom handle that. I'm biased, so I don't really want to hear anything negative that you have to say.
Right.
And I'm going to defend her however I can each and every time. So I'm probably the best person not to be there, so I usually stay away from that.
It's funny. Why does that, not in every case, but in a lot of cases, I feel like that defaults to mom. I'm like, they call me first. If there's a problem, my phone rings. If there's a conference, I go. Why?
Well, I mean, some of it used to be, I mean, the old generation, right? It'd just be like, you know, scheduling,
I guess.
Thinking of like, well, mom's available and dad is not, right? I mean, but we know that not to be true nowadays. But I think it's wise, man or woman, mom or dad,
right?
If you know that you are going to lose it or you have the possibility to lose it in one of these meetings over your child, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't be involved, right? Or know how to get yourself out of there should that situation arise. So, I mean, it's not the worst reason.
It's so funny, though.
Really,
I'll go
not.
To a conference or get off a phone call. The first person I call or like is him,
of
my
course.
Husband, to be like, this is what she said. This is what she did, you know?
Right, right. But again, even if you're the one sitting at home and you're getting that information secondhand, you can get mad. You can react. And that's okay because you're not there in front of people.
But you're right. It's scheduling. It's because, you know, I'm the one that's become more available
and
flexible.
Well, they're not doing these meetings at 3 a.m.
Right. Doreen, how about you? What's the task that your spouse does that you won't do?
I will not deal with any of the service providers. I just do not have the patience for that. And this man, he just possesses like unlimited patience. He can deal with anything.
Oh, yes. So this is like anybody coming to the house, the appointments, anything like that?
Exactly. Like, I just can't do the small talk, and he just knows exactly what to ask for, and I cannot stand dealing with it.
Me too. I don't want to do it. I don't know the questions to ask. First person that shows up at the door, I don't shop prices.
Hey,
I don't
just hire him.
Yeah, I'm like, that's good. That seems fine. You
right,
know what
get
you're
up
doing?
There.
You got to figure it out? All right.
Yeah.
Can I set up auto pay? You know, like, he's the one that's in charge of that. And he's gotten so good that, like, I'll hear him, like, arguing with, like, the providers on the phone to get lower prices and all that. And I'm like, you run with it, babe. Run
right,
with
so
it.
You feel like he's got it covered well.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a relief, actually. I like that.
Who can write a better song about graduation? Producer John or the robots?
Oh, man, these robots, they're really, really tough lately.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep getting more and more gigs.
There's this website. It's called Suno.com. And you go there and you can prompt it to write anything, a song about anything and any style you want. And within like 30 seconds, it gives it to you, which really is exciting for producer John since he's dedicated his life to writing music.
It's so awesome because I worked like really hard for a lot of years, like 20 plus years, mm-hmm. and this thing has 45 seconds.
How many times have we done this?
This is like five or six.
Five or six,
right. Something like that.
Yeah.
How many times has John come out on top?
A couple times.
I think I thank you.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah. Let's say twice for posterity.
All right. Let's go twice. We'll round up.
All right. But let's see if you can win again today. So today we went to the robots, Suno.com.
Yeah.
And we wrote, write an uplifting country song about graduating in 2024. Now, something that I don't know if I've ever mentioned before is that they title the songs, which I always thought was so cool. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned it before. So they titled this one. It's called The Wind at Our Backs.
I mean, okay.
They're just composers.
That is the easiest part of the entire process. That I can do just as fast as the machine.
Okay. So
Composers, I guess. I mean, they write it. They structure it. They bring in the voices and they title it. Wow.
Here is the robot AI version of The Wind at Our Backs, a country song about graduating in 2024.
Caps in the air and our hearts full of pride. We're stepping out from the halls we once knew. From late night cramming to dreams far and wide. With the sunrise, we're chasing what's true.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to pause right here, but you know something big is coming now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, our hearts are true or something like that, she said, right?
Yeah.
Just continue.
Just some canned responses.
2024, it's our year to shine.
It's our year, guys.
Each step we take a stride toward the new.
With each step, they also stride.
Small town roads to the
Oh, wow. That's a good line, though.
Memories and friends will guide.
It was a great line when Steve Perry wrote it 20 years ago, Raven.
That is a
40 years ago.
I know, but nobody alive remembers that except
Come
you.
On.
Wow.
All right. Here's John's song so you can be the judge.
All right.
We had parties by the lake, cutting class and sneaking out. I remember my first kiss late at night on the backyard patio at Danielle's house. They say a real life starts in a couple of months. There's a lot of hard work to do. I'll tell you how I feel. It don't get more real than the memories of me with you.
And let's hear it for the friends we made.
You know what? Hold on. it goes minor here.
Try not to think about how in a couple of months we'll all go our separate ways.
See, Zach Brown didn't write that part.
Times. Friends like you are hard to find. Well, memories we've made, they may fade, but 2024 will always be our time.
Wait, you're going to ignore the fact that you completely ripped off Zach Brown Band and Chicken
You know what? You get no references. You've seen no movies. You've heard no famous songs. And now, Anna, now is your moment to recognize the guy that I did kind of slightly rip off a little bit.
100%.
Yes.
Who can tell the best dad joke? Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. My husband, Paul, believes in his heart he is the greatest teller of dad jokes.
You know, it's one of the rare things that you see him really commit to with your job here, because he's been resistant for, you know, a long time. He doesn't like to play all your games.
Oh, no. Actually, we had an argument about this last night. Funny enough, it's true. Like, Paul is not into being on the air. People always say, like, how come Paul's not more on the air, all that? Because that's my job. It's not his job.
Right.
So the fact that he is so prideful when it comes to telling dad jokes is hilarious to me. He has an Instagram page, Zap Dad Jokes, that my daughter runs, and because my daughter runs it, who's 15, she has stopped posting from last Thanksgiving. Now I'm on the text chain where he sends jokes for her to post.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. She's not posting that.
And she just doesn't do it. She likes it. She writes okay, and then she just doesn't do it.
Oh, and he's unaware. He doesn't know.
He has no idea.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
So Paul.
He has 181 followers, and he thinks he's famous.
Listen, I think we can push that number up today. I think we can.
Anyway, so what I had the guys do here, Raven, producer John, producer Sean, is each of you create a dad joke, deliver it, and then he would judge it. And I knew that he would find great joy in this.
You know what? I mean, I just want to be up front here and just say that I'm not a dad joke guy, right? They only happen with me when they kind of fall in my lap, to tell you the truth. So I don't feel like I'm great at it.
But don't qualify.
We'll see. Maybe he did okay.
I hope he likes it.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Are you going to judge these dad jokes? This is Raven's.
What time is it when you have to go to the dentist? 2:30. Get it? 2:30.
How do you feel about that, Raven?
Not good.
I felt like you had to repronounce the hurdy part, too. Like, you were too on point with 30 the first time.
No, you're probably right. I didn't write it. You know, I just read it.
What are your thoughts?
Mediocre.
All he had.
Yeah.
He was like mediocre.
It was generous, too.
That's tough.
I feel like he gave me that one.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. It's all right.
And then John had his turn.
What do you call a guy with a rubber toe? Roberto.
How do you feel about that delivery, John?
I love that joke so much.
I'm
laughing at it right now. I'm trying to keep myself composed.
When it came up, like, he said it in 30 seconds.
It was
like,
his
literally,
favorite thing.
Like, literally, when you were like, okay, we're all going to send Paul, we're going to record these dad jokes, and John was like, phone out in hand.
We were in a meeting.
Yeah.
How about John's?
That one was better.
He really liked it. He really liked it.
Was better.
Yeah, he was pretty pumped about that one.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Paul's a man of a few words, trust me.
And how about Sean's?
I got an A in my origami assignment when I turned my paper into the teacher.
Nailed it.
That's actually...
Thank you, John. Thank you.
I still barely get it, but...
No, I had to play it for him several times.
No, because it's...
Because you got to listen. He said his delivery was too fast.
I got an A in my origami assignment when I turned my paper into the teacher.
Instead of way too fast, and you got to think about it for a second. It's not as clean and cut and simple as Roberto or 2:30. So the 2:30 one kind of doesn't roll off as easily as Roberto.
Yeah, he thought yours was terrible.
You know what? I mean, this really opens it up, though. I could see Paul on a panel, like dad jokes television show. Right. This is like Idol, but for dad jokes.
I'm pretty sure I just got a 9.8 on my joke.
Well, let's find out.
So which one do you think is the best?
Roberto.
So John gave the best dad joke.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he thought he would just leave, even though nobody asked him to do this.
Right.
He wanted to leave everybody with a joke.
Every morning when I walk out of our driveway, this bicyclist runs me over. It's a vicious cycle.
All hail the king. All hail the king.
For sure.
I don't think that Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are actually getting a divorce. I don't. And I don't understand why all of a sudden we have to have all this speculation because they put their house on the market that it's over and that they've been not seen together a few weeks or whatever.
I mean, they haven't been seen together in a long time. And every time that they are seen together, it is completely awkward and weird. And they're married. And they took forever to find that house. And now they're selling it. And I feel like they didn't even live in the thing.
Raven, producer John, I figured like there's got to be telltale signs that a divorce is coming. And I'm not 100% sure we've seen them. But both of you have gone through divorces in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought we would just go through the top three things that you knew. That you knew at that moment you were going to get divorced. And then we'll see if it applies to Bennifer.
The signs were pretty clear for me. Should I go first?
Yeah, go first.
All right. Yeah. Sign number one.
I call this one the four no's. All right. This is the no call, no show, no come home, no remorse. Typically, that's a good indicator. If you don't know where your partner is, you're not really married.
Oh.
So if J-Lo doesn't know the address to Ben's new, condo or whatever it is he's staying in, like, that would be a problem.
She has to know. She has to know.
You think so?
I mean, yes. TMZ knows, but does she care? That's the question.
All right. The second one would be a thing that personally happened in my life. And also, that first rule happened, too. But this one happened is if your car is stolen and then subsequently lit on fire a week later, that's, it's an indicator that, things aren't great.
I should have gone first. I can't top that story. And that's not even the first time I've heard it.
I was just driving the other day in the sunshine with the sunroof open, and somebody said, oh, gosh, what a nice day. And I was immediately reminded of my beautiful Ford Mustang convertible with white leather interior that my wife took, just disappeared with. And then a week later, I was told it was totally burned out in an impound lot.
Yeah, no, I don't think burned any of his cars yet.
Yeah.
Yet. Yet.
I was going to say, she gives that energy, though, a little bit.
Like,
I think she would.
Don't think that she wouldn't. Mm. And then the third indicator for me was really finances. When you can't trust the finances, when you can't have your credit cards out laying around or anything like that, that's a problem.
Mm. I don't think they have that issue. I don't think they have any of those issues.
Yeah. Okay.
See, and here's the difference is that Raven, there was like a lack of trust. There was just a complete dislike. With me and my ex, it was a complete inability to just be around each other. Two perfectly rational, normal, nice people who just hate each other's company so much. Because the first one for me was I got thrown out of the house over an argument that started about hand washing.
Oh.
And not about whether or not I washed my hands, but the length of time I washed my hands. And I swear to God, the argument open was, I sang the entire first verse of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what they say you're supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if Ben sang the first thing about
I was
going to
say,
Rhapsody.
Does Ben Affleck look like a good hand washer? It's questionable at times. Okay.
But I think petty arguments are a thing with them.
Yeah.
Okay. The other one is I once got a brutal flu. Brutal flu.
Yeah.
Almost had to go. And the first thing was, how could you do this? How could you get? How could you? This is because you don't wash the hands. This is because you're not washing the blood. Raven, I promise you that conversation happened.
Yeah, no, I believe you. I believe it.
I'm not sure that J-Lo and Ben are having those arguments. What was the third reason why you think you got a divorce?
Well, it's not like a specific time. It's just, that feeling when you look around and you look at all your worldly possessions and all these things that you spent time and energy and most importantly money, and you think to yourself, yeah, I would give all of that away for 5 minutes alone. I would give all of that away.
Guys.
That is exactly what is going on with them selling the house.
100%.
Say whatever you want. They $60 million and they're just like, let it burn. Let it burn. Let it go.
Your dad's catchphrase. You know how like every dad has one? Like a couple things that they always say over and over. I remember my dad, he says two of them constantly and they're ingrained in my head. One, he's a shoemaker on them. He's a shoemaker.
I love that.
And the thing is that his second one is also like the first one.
Yeah.
Ham and egg, Anna. Ham and egg. a shoemaker and a ham and egger are guys that don't know what they're doing, or it could be women that don't know what they're doing. They're not good at their job. They're inexperienced. And he loves to tell me when somebody's a ham and egger or a shoemaker.
Just going through the motions then, basically. Shoemaker, there was a time when a shoemaker was an important individual.
Cobblers were, they had their time.
That's right.
Yes.
That time is over now at this point.
Yeah.
My father used to say the craziest things all the time. I mean, it wasn't just the catchphrases, right? It was more like, you know, like he'd tell me, never get leather interior, because what happens when you sit in there with your keys on and you poke a hole in it? He would tell me things like that. He would tell me to spray paint the tails of animals that I would catch in the yard so that way I'd know if they came back.
Oh.
And he would tell me that it was good advice to pee around the outline of your shed. That way coyotes would stay away.
All right. All right.
He told me all sorts of stuff like that.
1-800-330-9999. Lisa, what was the catchphrase your dad used?
He always used que sera, sera.
Oh. And you never know what it means, right? Right, like it is what it is. It's all the same thing.
Whatever will be,
right?
He would say that all the time.
I mean, but it's true though, and they always say like you're not supposed to say it is what it is, but sometimes it just is what it is.
Yeah, but you don't want to hear that. You're looking for an actual answer. You don't want to hear that, especially when you're 10, 12, 15, 20. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that.
I get that. John, Sean, how about you guys? Your dad ever have those catchphrases?
Oh, yeah. No, my dad, with him, it's Katie bar the door. Oh, Katie bar the door.
What is Katie by the door?
It's like an old sports phrase. And I mean old, like 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, like red zone. If they're about to do a really aggressive play, if someone's driving to the hoop really hard, it's like Katie bothered to hold the door like someone's coming in, you
something
know
terrible
I mean?
Is about to happen, right?
But
something
big's gonna happen. He loves to use it in like in if like weather, like if we go outside and it's raining, he'll just go and he'll shorten it too, is my favorite part. If it's like raining hard, he'll go outside and be like, oh Katie. As no one knows what he's talking about. Yeah. We do because we've heard him say it a million times.
You know, the same one is batten down the hatches. Mm. That, it's same thing.
That's a perfect allegory. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who's Katie? That's my
just some Katie.
About. Yeah.
Someone who needs to bar that door.
That's right.
That was her job.
That's her job.
That was the old lady.
My stepfather used to always say to me, like, I used to hate like making any kind of statement toward him, like, oh, it was a long day today, because he'd always say to me, but did it kill you? You know, probably a bad day, or like, you know, a breakup or something. Okay, well, did it kill you? Mm. I'm like, oh God. I mean, of course you're right. You got a point, but just give me a little something here, man. Right.
But Sean,
like, I feel you,
Sean. Did it kill you?
It's about to.
I mean, you're here, right? Like, here you are.
Right.
Seemed fine.
I mean, I get that he was trying to be positive while also being completely cynical. And the last thing that you want to hear.
He was a ham and egger.
Right.
Oh,
well, I'm a shoemaker.
Dadisms, you know, they're like the catchphrases that your dad always used or still uses. My dad all the time, he's a ham and egger, Anna.
Yeah, I had a boss who used to always call, we called him Boydisms because he would say 1,000 every day. He used to say, don't pee on my loafers and tell me it's raining. He loved that one.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. Brooke, what was the catchphrase your dad always uses?
It's not our dad. It's my husband. He uses the phrase can of corn all the time.
Can of corn.
How does he use it?
As a swear?
I think that I'm not even sure what it means exactly, but I deduced that it means it's like something that's really easy, like a home run type situation.
Oh. It's a can of corn.
It's a can of corn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a can of corn.
I could say it's been explained to me.
You gotta do it. It's a can of corn.
And I still don't get it. But
no, I get it. I get it. He just won the lottery.
What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything there. That means nothing there.
Hey, Katie, the catchphrase your dad used, what was it?
You remember The Princess Bride?
Yes.
Always inconceivable.
Inconceivable. That's what it was?
Yeah. I have no clue to this day. It started out whenever we were talking about something and my dad just wanted to get us laughing or something like that, or we thought it was something that, you know, was inconceivable. He would just start saying it.
Yeah, you got to have the tone with it, too, when you do it, right? It's in the delivery.
Oh, no, he would get it.
Right.
He wouldn't get it as well as the actor, but he would still get it.
Right, right. He'd show up for it. He'd give it the shot.
Mary Beth, what's that phrase your dad always used to use?
Okay, so there actually is two. One is when one's good advice. The other one is when he pissed me off. If I wanted to do something and I'd say why, he'd say, because Y is a crooked letter, which I never understood what that was.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah. Is Y a crooked letter?
Well, it is. It's got a slant. Yeah. Well, it's a dumb answer to a dumb question, right? Right. So, okay.
Exactly. And then the good advice he would always say is listen to what a guy does, not what he says. And I've always thought about that. That's very good advice. So. Mm-hmm.
That's one that I actually give to my daughter all the time. It's like when somebody shows you their true colors, remember, that's what they're showing you. Like, they're not going to change.
Hey, TJ, what's that phrase that your dad always used to use?
It is, if you want good, your nose has to run.
Your nose has to run?
What does that mean?
Meaning if it's like a Caribbean thing. I'm from the Caribbean. Like, if you want good, like if you work hard and do what you're supposed to do, then your nose is gonna run. Not necessarily meaning your nose is running, but
right.
Just keep.
Dolly Parton oddly has like a very similar saying. She's like, if you want to see the rainbow, you got to live through the rain. It's kind of the exact same thing.
So your nose goes first?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's the same thing. Thanks for the
call. Thanks, CJ.
Hey, Venetia. What's that thing your dad always used to say?
Every time I did something nice for him or he'd ask me for a favor and I did, he'd say, my princess, whenever I'm getting married, I should let him know he'd give me a rose duck. I don't even know what the heck that meant. That was a little girl.
A gold duck?
Whenever I get in for a rose duck.
A roast duck.
A roast duck.
Yep. Yes. Again, no idea.
Right. I'm sure he meant it nicely, though. Right, yeah. Right. All right, Wendy, what is catchphrase your dad always used?
Oh, gosh. At 81 years young, he still says this. If we ever attempted to argue with him at any point in time for any reason and suddenly said, well, Dad, yeah, but, he would hear yeah, but, and he would come out with a yeah, but is a mythical piece that follows people around who can't make up their minds.
Obviously. Obviously. Thank you, Dad, for bringing that prophecy to us.
Yeah. I don't understand why so many people think I'm nuts. And I don't understand why so many people think this is crazy.
I mean, the first time you told me, I told you, that is not normal. All right? I mean, I don't think it's life or death, but it ain't normal.
Okay. Raven, we have a special guest. Ashley Baylor is joining us. She is going to be popping in. And because when I go on my summer vacations over the summer, Ashley is going to be stepping in for me. So welcome, Ashley. I'm so excited to hear what you think about this.
Okay. I'm dying to hear this.
So this is the reel that went viral.
Why do people think I'm crazy? Do you and your spouse have separate cars or do you share your cars? My husband and I, we have two cars. But we just take whatever one we want each day. So the first person out of the house picks which car they want to drive that day, and they leave with that car. The other person also has two keys in their pocketbook or in their pocket. They walk outside, they take the other car. We don't, like, have arguments about it. You take whatever car you want in the morning. You're out first, you pick. Is that weird? Why do people think that's weird?
Ashley, you and your husband, what do?
No, I have my own car. And he has his own car. But and it's very rare I take his car. And
really?
It's very rare he would take mine.
Why?
Because I really can't stand when he adjusts my seat.
Yeah.
I really don't love that. And it's been my car since even before I was with him. So, you know, he has his car. I have my car. And he leaves his car a cluttered mess. And I just can't. No.
When one of you's car is broken down and you have to drive it, like, you know, for a couple days or whatever, how many days does it take for you to go, I hate your car?
There's about 30 seconds of hissing and spitting, but then I take his car and I have to deal with it, basically.
Right.
To me, it's so strange because, like, we were together very young. We were 20 years old when we met. So, like, we've grown up together. We've been married 20 years. So, like, when we buy cars together. We go and we look at cars together. We decide together which car we want. We always have one SUV that's like our family, quote, sensible car. And then we have the sports fun car that's the fun car to drive. And then the rule is whoever's out first thing in the morning, you pick which car you want. Some days I know if I have the kids and I'm running them around a lot, yeah, of course I take the SUV. I take the truck because I know that I got to do pickup and all these things. But some days I'm like, no, I feel like flying up the highway today. I'm going to take the fun car, and that's the car I take.
I mean, you can't leave anything in the vehicle then, right? I mean, forever, every day you get out of the car, you've got to take absolutely everything that you need with you for the next day, possibly.
So we have in our cars, each of us has a pair of sunglasses, right? That's it. And then in the trunk, in both cars, I have a sweatshirt for when I'm cold and chilly and I go to restaurants.
That's it.
That's it.
Like a shawl.
That's all.
Oh.
Like a grandmother.
Even when I walk into my house, like when I pull into my garage, I take my bags and my pocketbook inside. It's just part of my norm.
Ashley, if you went to go pick out your car, do you bring your husband? Does he have any input whatsoever?
No, actually, the last two I bought, I will call him and I say, this is what I'm thinking of getting. Do you have any opinion on the matter? But
yeah.
The thing is, I know a lot more about cars than he does, to be honest with you. I know a lot more about buying cars, about leasing cars. So I go get the best deal. I go get what I want for the most part. He goes and gets what he wants as well. So if I did tell him the next car I want, I would love to get a pickup truck. Then there's probably going to be some fighting because he's going to want to take
He's going to want input
he's
on that
He's not going to want to take the Honda Accord that he right. owns. He's going to want to take my pickup truck.
The last time I bought a car, Anna, I just asked my wife for a ride to go get it. That was all I needed. At that point, I had already picked it. I mean, I didn't even drive it until I went to go pick it up.
We go have romantic dinners. Online. We talk about the color we want. We talk about the different kind of cars we're going to test drive. It's fun. We're married.
It's like an episode, a series even. Like drag out a season on television.
What do you think? Let's take five calls. Five calls says it all. I don't know why people are going at me on Instagram because I said my husband and I share cars. Ashley is sitting in with me and Raven. Ashley is going to be filling in for me throughout the summer whenever I take my vacations. And Ashley, you and your husband have separate cars. You think this is nuts?
I mean, I can't label it as nuts, but okay. It's definitely something I won't do. But it's, you know, because my husband will have coffee cups left in his car from 1983. So that's why I don't like taking his car.
It's totally okay for you to say it's insane. All right. Because it is. It's totally
Raven
nuts.
Raven has been saying for years that it's nuts.
Listen, your car is part of like your domain. It's your solitary place, right? Like I can arrange things how I want. I can keep things in there. Who knows what's in my glove box?
No. So we're completely separate. We pick our cars together, we buy our cars together, and then whoever's out first in the morning takes whatever car they want. The other person has the other car, and we go and live our lives. No big deal. Everybody on Instagram kept saying, well, you have to readjust the seats. Well, first of all, it automatically readjusts when you push a button.
Yeah, you just got to learn how to set that thing.
Right. And then the other thing is, like, it takes 6 seconds to fix your mirrors. Like, literally 6 seconds. That's it. Like, by the time it takes you to scroll through Instagram and watch that video, I've already adjusted the mirrors in the car.
Well, you shouldn't be doing that in the car.
Well, you know what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Five calls says it all. Is that nuts? 1-800-330-9999. Jerry.
I believe so, but it sounds like to me that she always has the pick. Because
right.
she's saying, if I feel like taking a pickup, I take the pickup. If I want to take the sport. So, obviously, she leaves first.
Mm-hmm.
She gets her choice, and that's why she's happy.
My husband always jokes, they're both her cars.
Right.
He drives the other one.
Bob, what do you think? Is Anna crazy because they share cars?
Definitely crazy. I love you, Anna, as a friend, but you're definitely crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right.
What do you think, Caitlin? Am I crazy because we share cars like a normal, loving marriage family?
What are you doing?
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
My husband and I have a pickup truck and a Jeep Wrangler, and every day it's a game of which keys are just going to be hanging up, because we do only have one set of keys for each vehicle, but he leaves for work at 2 o'clock in the morning, so he does get to decide.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that those are basically the same vehicle. So, I'm just going to say that. But okay, right. All right.
Leanne, what do you think? Am I crazy for sharing cars with my husband?
I have to be honest, Anna. I am 100% on your side.
Thank you.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what?
Yeah, it all depends on where the car is parked in the morning. Right? Like when I wake up in the morning and I walk out the driveway, whichever car is easier to get to is the car I'm going to take.
I mean, that sounds lazy. That doesn't sound necessary. Like you're just like, whatever car is closest to me.
Well,
if the car would actually open the door and put me in the driver's seat, that would be the car I always took.
Well, and, you know, like Anna said, I love them both for different reasons. So I don't really have a preference. So, you know, if my daughter is parked behind one of the other cars, I don't want to move 10 cars. So I guess, that is kind of lazy, but it works.
True. Sometimes I look at the gas, and if I don't feel like getting gas and one has more gas than the other, that'll be my deciding factor.
Well, I mean, I didn't realize she was in a parking funnel where everything was coming through to some sort of bottleneck situation here. I apologize for your driveway. I should have taken that into account.
All right. So if we tally it up. It's 2-2, and on our text line, a lot of people agree with me. It's not crazy. See? Everybody on Instagram, you're wrong. Stop hating, haters.
I feel like you're selectively reading.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They tell us what their problem is, and then you just decide who's right. Rob and Dana. Dana, let's start with you. What's going on?
So, I'm not trying to be mean, but I have a neighbor who's not very attractive, really hairy, big old pot belly, kind of gross. all of that is fine for what it is, except that he's always walking around outside in just his boxers. And I have to see that. My kids have to see that. But it gets even more exciting. He likes to chat with my husband. We don't really have much of a fence between our 2 yards. He'll just hang out in his boxers and come on over and chat with my husband. So I have to look at that. And I want my husband to tell him at least to put on like a shirt, something, anything, if he's going to come over and chat with us. Because even my kids are like, Mommy, what's wrong with that man?
Right.
Rob, what's going on? What's up with your homie?
I mean, this is so dumb. He's been there forever. When we moved in, he was living there. I talked to him all the time. He's a European guy. He's European. Like, this is what they do, apparently. I don't know. He comes over, pot belly is a strong word, but yeah, he's a little out of shape, but he's just comfortable. I see nothing wrong with him.
You know, I had a pair of elderly neighbors once at an old house. He used to be out there working in the garden all the time with his shirt off. And sometimes the shorts would be so small that you would wonder if they were actually technically shorts. Now, they were Italian. They had a lovely garden. It doesn't mean that that's how I see every one of my Italian neighbors, but he would be out there. Great tomatoes. Fantastic tomatoes and great sauce. And she would make this bread. Oh, so good.
We have one person. They're not our neighbors, but we drive by their house. And the like last few times on nice days, she's been naked in the yard suntanning in her front yard, like completely naked. And Hayden points it out to me, my older daughter, all the time. She's at it again, Mom. She's at it again.
It's so strange.
It's awkward. Like it feels uncomfortable. But Dana, yeah. I understand what you're saying, like from your point of view. But I also see Rob's. Like, what are you gonna say to the guy? Can you put on a shirt or stop coming over to my yard? Maybe you do say that.
New boxers, boxer briefs, and newer boxers. You know, they're built to a way where everything's kind of held in. Old boxers. I mean, there's a breeze. You know, there's a door on those things.
And he's wearing the older boxers.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm sure they're 27 years old. But let's see. They may agree with you, Dana. Rob, not such a big deal. Say to your neighbor, hey, you mind throwing on a shirt, a pair of pants when you are outside or, you know, you come over to our side? But they may see your side too, Rob. Like, well, how are you going to have that conversation? This is an older gentleman. He's allowed to do what he wants. And if he's free, let him be free.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Rob and Dana's neighbor. It's an older guy. Doesn't wear a shirt when he's out in the yard. Wears old school boxers. That's it. Dana says it's really inappropriate, and the kids are always looking at him, and he even walks onto our property to talk to you, Rob. You got to tell him. Put on some clothes when you leave the house.
I used to have a neighbor that used to mow the lawn in dress socks all the time. He would come home from work, and he would immediately strip out of his suit, and he would go right out into the yard. And I mean, the shorts barely qualified as shorts, but the dress socks was also a nice touch there. And that's how he would mow the lawn. He would do that every single week.
Rob says, what am I going to say to him? Like, he has every right to wear what he wants. He's not naked. He's got these boxers on. Like, he's got to do it. He's European. This is what they do. let's check some Facebook. Rich and Jen Mooney write on our Facebook page, if it covers everything a bathing suit would cover, then she needs to grow up. That's an interesting way to think about it.
Sure.
Yeah. Lisa writes, that would be annoying. He should at least wear real shorts. There may be a boxer slip up. Ew. And then there's a lot of W's after that. We understand what you're saying. What do you think, though? Would you say something to your neighbor if he was constantly outside just in his boxers with his big old belly hanging out all hairy? Or would you just say, what's he going to do? Rob and Dana have a neighbor that he goes outside without a shirt on. He's very hairy. He's very large. And he only wears boxers, like the old school boxers, not even the new ones.
Yeah, I mean, he's an older guy. He's European, as Robert points out. And that's just the way he does it. He's been doing it since the moment they moved in, and he continues to do it. I mean, and you go out, you're doing your gardening, you're doing your lawn care, stuff like that. Who's somebody else to tell you what to do on your property?
Well, that's what Dana wants. Dana wants Rob to say, just go say to him, like, we have kids, like, put on a shirt, put on some real pants, something, Rob disagrees and is like, what am I? It's like he can do what he wants. Yeah. He's been doing this the whole time.
And he's a good neighbor other than that, right? So
do you know I make Paul wear a shirt outside, my husband, when he works in the lawn? I get so mad when he goes out without a shirt.
I mean, what nonsense is that? He's in relatively good shape, which again, doesn't matter. None of that matters.
Even more
property.
So. I don't need the neighbors looking at my husband. Put out a shirt, babe, when you go
Come
outside.
Come on.
He comes in, he's soaking wet. I'm like, all right, now I'll get in the shower.
Seems a little bit crazy. All right.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I totally on the husband's side. The lady's crazy. You can't tell somebody what to do in their own yard. If you don't like it, you close your blinds.
Or your eyes.
Right. Yeah. Right. And Raven, whose side are you on?
You know, in as much as I can empathize with the wife, if he's a good long-term neighbor, sometimes you just have to pick your battles and suck it up.
I tend to agree with you, right? I mean, it's a long-term game. You got to keep, you know, sight of that, right? You got to look at the big picture, not the short one. Thanks for the call. And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. So, you know, I don't think anybody really wants to see that, especially, like, I wouldn't want my wife to be looking at that in the morning or any of my children. I mean, you know, maybe they should put up a fence or something between the two properties.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rob, our audience agreed with you today. You can't say something. As much as you want to, you just can't. I'm sorry, Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I am
you can't
too.
Say anything.
I guess I'm just going to have to, you know, cover up my kid's eyes every time he's outside.
What if you all started going out in your underwear? And then that way he would see that it seemed kind of silly, right? Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden, like, you know, typically you're out there in the yard, Rob, and you're doing your yard work or whatever, you know, you're wearing shorts or sweatpants or anything like that. What if all of a sudden this time you were just wearing boxers or briefs when he came over? I mean, I don't know. How would he take that? You
know how about the rest of the neighbors in that neighborhood? Like, what is going on over there on their side?
Yeah.
They're just all naked all the time. All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,500. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/drivertech. Paid for by NHTSA. Jake, you ready to play today?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, would you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Jake.
Okay. So he's walking out of here. That door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Jake, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
All right, number one, Kelly Clarkson says she will not replace Katy Perry on American Idol as a judge because she promised her kids she would be home with them more. She won which season of American Idol?
The first.
Number two, all eyes on J-Lo after she was seen out to dinner this weekend without Ben Affleck, but she was wearing her wedding rings. What's the name of her Netflix sci-fi movie that clocked in its second week as the most watched film on the streaming service?
Unknown.
Number three, a recent Netflix series sparked a lawsuit from a person that the character was based off of named Martha. This series is about a comedian who has to deal with a female stalker. What Netflix show is that? That's time.
Great.
And number four, this one's from my 5-year-old Dakota, who says she never knows the answers to the questions. The new Smurf movie that will be out next Valentine's Day will have celebrity voices Nick Offerman and Rihanna. What is the name of the evil wizard in the Smurfs who is their sworn enemy?
Gargamel. Thanks.
Yeah. Number five, Meghan Trainor was recently on the YouTube show Last Meals, and she shared that she realized she was pregnant with her second baby at a sound check on the Jimmy Fallon show. Her husband, Daryl Sabara, was a child actor and is best known as playing Junie Cortez in what film series?
Friends.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
You.
2 out of 5 for Jake.
Not great. $4,500.
Good
we go.
News. He got the one for Dakota.
Oh, good. Good. I hope I do.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson says she will not replace Katy Perry on American Idol as a judge because she promised her kids that she would be home more with them.
Okay.
She won which season of American Idol?
The first one, number one.
Yes. Number two, all eyes on J-Lo after she was seen out to dinner this weekend without Ben Affleck, but she was wearing her wedding rings. What's the name of her Netflix sci-fi movie that clocked in its second week as the most watched film on the streaming service?
It's got to be Atlas.
That's right. You guys are tied. Number three, a recent Netflix series sparked a lawsuit from a person that the character was based off of named Martha. This series is about a comedian who has to deal with a female stalker. What Netflix show is that?
Oh, is that, that's the reindeer one.
Final answer.
Meet reindeer? Or?
No, baby reindeer.
Baby reindeer.
Number four, this is the one for my five-year-old. The new Smurf movie will be out next Valentine's Day and will have celebrity voices Nick Offerman and Rihanna. What is the name of the evil wizard in the Smurfs who is their sworn enemy?
Gargamel, of course.
Gargamel is correct. And number five, Meghan Trainor was recently on the YouTube show Last Meals, and she shared she realized she was pregnant with her second baby at the sound check when she was going to perform on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, boy.
Her husband, Daryl Sabara, was a child actor and is best known as playing Juni Cortez in what film series?
I don't know. The Sandlot?
No, Spy Kids.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, Jake. 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right. I'm Jake. I couldn't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $4,600 tomorrow, Anna.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.